back. Welcome back. I'm not sure the button where was pushed or not. Yeah, where are we? Richmond, Virginia, right here at WRNL. Who's talking, if you happened upon us? This is Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, and Michael Tusky in studio with our engineer-producer, Jesse. And we've got Paul London on the phone, and Frank is going to do the introduction.
Okay.
It is definitely my pleasure to welcome Paul to the show. Paul played football at UVA, redshirted in 1991, and then mainly played special teams his redshirt freshman year in 92. Then he started at safety in 1993 opposite Keith Lyle, was second on the team with four interceptions, and was part of the defense when UVA's national record for consecutive games with at least one interception began. Unfortunately, he tore his PCL and his meniscus in the spring of 93, and he missed most of his junior year. He came back as a senior and started opposite Percy Ellsworth. Both he and Percy finished second in the ACC in interceptions with six apiece. Boy, that's busy work back there. Earned all ACC honorable mention and ACC Defense Player of the Week twice. Currently, Paul lives down in Hampton and works as a business manager at Hampton Chevrolet. Looks to me like Paul is also engaged. God bless him. And he works with and stays in touch with former Virginia Cavalier Lamont Still, a home health care company. Enjoys working out, watches movies and sports, and spends time with his family. And we're going to talk about all the players he still stays in touch with a little bit later. Anyway, welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Paul, I'll just jump in here. Frank brought in this information on the change in the kickoff rules, and he mentioned the fact you played special teams. So I guess the NCAA is going to move the kickoff to the 35-yard line. And if it's a touchback, the team will get it at the 25. Do you have any thoughts on those changes?
Well, I mean, I think something like that will definitely benefit UVA. I think we have a young team and a lot of young players participating on special teams. And you know, when you get young guys on the field, just like, you know, at one time I was a young guy playing special teams, you get some mental mistakes and some physical mistakes. So if we have a kicker that can kick the ball into the end zone, I think that it might give us an opportunity to alleviate some of those mistakes. Coaches are going to coach their players that if the ball goes into the end zone, to go ahead and down it, because now you get it at 25 as opposed to the 20. So, you know, if you got a kicker that's got a strong leg, four first downs, and you might be in field goal position. So as opposed to taking it out of the end zone and trying to get what you can, knowing that the coverage team is going to be 5 yards closer, I think you might want to down it, take the yardage, and then go from there. But, again, if you have young special teams guys on the field, it can help mitigate some of those mistakes, as far as running lanes and angles and things of that nature. So I'm looking forward to see how that pans out.
Well, I know it's going to cause a lot of havoc in the first couple of games of the season for the announcers, because they're going to have to explain what the heck is going on to everybody. Also, I noticed that the NCAA panel has approved a rule that will require a player who loses his helmet during a play to leave the game for one play. And there are also new guidelines regarding blocking below the waist and blocking on punt returns. So I'm sure those are more restrictive, trying to protect the health of the players. And then one last rule, it says here, players will also be prohibited from leaping over blockers when trying to block a punt. So it seems like there's a lot of work going on by the NCAA to try to reduce injuries on special teams. So I don't know. What do you think of all that?
Well, I mean, I think players are a lot stronger, a lot faster. The collisions are a lot more violent. Everything's geared towards player safety. Obviously, with the NFL enacting some of the rules changes that they've made last year, they're trying to protect the players. When you're out on the field and you're a player, it's your natural instinct to, head first, make a tackle, and put your body in, throw your body out there. But I think, sometimes, the guys that make those decisions try to, make sure that, as a player, you got to learn how to make a tackle using the correct technique, or they're going to enact rules that will help make the game safer, because it is definitely guys are a lot faster, a lot stronger, and the collisions are a lot more violent.
Absolutely. We're talking with Paul London, former UVA defensive back. Paul, it was very, I very much enjoyed seeing you the other day at the press conference up in Charlottesville. And, you know, it was very interesting to me to sort of watch you and your dad while your older brother Mike was at the podium answering questions from the media. And I got to ask this question. What's it like to watch Big Brother as the head coach of the UVA Cavaliers? And also, what thoughts does your dad have concerning all the fuss that's made over college football today? Because I'm pretty certain back in his day, football games, you know, 20 or 30,000 fans out there. Now there's 60 and 70,000 fans. What are your thoughts?
Well, back when my dad played football, I don't even know if they wore helmets.
So, or at least they didn't have face masks.
Yeah. All the advancement in equipment and, you know, the increased fervor over college athletics, I think he's probably, you know, he's one of those guys. He's an old school guy. So he probably looks at it and shakes his head with bewilderment. But it's back to your first question. I'm extremely proud of Mike. You know, he's been a coach now for I can't even remember how long, and I can remember being at Virginia when he coached at William and Mary, mm-hmm. and playing against him, and obviously we beat William and Mary a couple of times while I was there. But just, you know, very proud. He worked his way up. I remember when I graduated from UVA and took a teaching job in Richmond, Virginia. Mike was coaching at the University of Richmond. And we lived together, so it was pretty neat living, you know, living with him while he was coaching at Richmond. Now we lived in a two bedroom apartment, and between the two of us, we had three pieces of furniture, and one of those pieces was a fish tank. So, you know, he got up every day, went to work, and I can remember taking a call from Tom O'Brien asking if I thought Mike would be interested in going to Boston College to be his defensive line coach. And so to see him progress from where he was to where he is now, it's you know, makes me very proud.
Yeah, you should be, and I'm sure you are as well. I don't have the honor of knowing you. I did get to know your brother during his tenure at Richmond because my wife's on the faculty there. But what a terrific guy and a great football coach. But I'm sure you have seen the schedule for next year. I just thought I'd get your thoughts on the Virginia football schedule next year.
Well, you know, we're a young team. You know, he's still trying to develop the talent and be competitive. You know, we've got two tough games with, you know, Penn State and TCU. Penn State's at home. TCU is on the road. It's going to be a challenge. When you're in a position like we are, you got to compete every week. You got to play four quarters every week and be committed to excellence every week because you can't let up. Because I don't think that talent gap is big enough to where if you let up, you can still be successful. So, we got to stay driven, stay committed, and stay focused, and try to limit the mistakes. But I think, going into this year, the guys have a lot of confidence building off of last year, knowing that they can hang with the tougher teams in the country, and so hopefully, you know, it'll propel them to another successful season.
Paul. Looking at the schedule, Virginia opens with the Spiders up in Charlottesville, and then Penn State comes to town. That'll be just a media circus on some level.
Right.
And then Virginia travels down to Georgia Tech September 15th, and obviously the ACC schedulers have a sense of humor there. And then Virginia has to travel to Texas Christian down in Texas on the 22nd. So right away, Virginia is under fire with three huge games.
Early.
I mean, I guess this is a payback for Virginia getting invited to play in the Chick-fil-A, right?
Well, maybe so, but I'm sure he'll have the team ready.
Well, it's going to be exciting. Looking back on things, you got to play with some excellent players back in your day. Certainly Randy Neal comes to mind, and Percy Ellsworth and some others. But having watched Chase Minifield this past year, or two. He's making the run here to try to get drafted in the NFL. What are your thoughts on his chances, and then also the fact that UVA's got to rebuild the whole secondary next year?
Yeah, as far as Chase is concerned, obviously he's got excellent bloodlines. His father, I can remember being in college and playing. This was before they had PlayStation. We had the Tecmo Bowl game on the Sega Genesis, and Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield played the corners for the Cleveland Browns team. So I can remember using Cleveland on Tecmo Bowl. You know, Chase is obviously very athletic. He's a playmaker. He's got a nose for the ball. Even though he's you know, small in stature, he'll definitely come up and put his helmet in your chest. So I think that he has an excellent chance of not only, you know, getting drafted and making a team, but being a significant contributor to whatever team he goes to.
Yeah, it really, really is true. And I remember when your brother first took the job, the one thing I thought was a terrific idea with the PR thing was the building of the program video series. And I remember Chase and his dad out playing a round of golf or something, and you could tell they were both pretty competitive. And you can't be that successful in football without being a competitor.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, back to the last part of that question was about the rebuilding of the secondary. And we know that I think Anthony Harris, who's from the greater Richmond area, is going to get a shot at safety. Excellent athlete. We know that Phelps from Maryland, whose parents both went to UVA, is going to get a good look at one corner position, and obviously Demetrius Nicholson is back holding down the other corner. A lot of questions about the other safety position, but what will the coaching staff have to do to try to get all these young people ready to go? Because it's a tough job today to play in the secondary, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think it all boils down to player development. I think we have the athletes back there to compete and to be competitive. I have the pleasure of being friends with, obviously, Anthony Poindexter, who was there when I went to school, and Chip West. And they've got a lot of confidence in the young guys. Now, you know, it's not going to be without growing pains. You know, when you're young and you get thrust into the spotlight, you're going to make mistakes. But, you know, you just have to be able to develop your players. Players have to commit themselves to learning the defense, learning the nuances of the defense, and studying film and getting prepared each and every week to go out and play and be competitive. Because especially, particularly in the secondary, you know, if you miss a tackle or you miss an assignment, everybody in the stadium and everybody on TV can tell who missed that tackle and who missed that assignment. So as a former safety, you know, it takes a lot of film study and a lot of preparation to you know, play well on Saturdays.
That's a very visible position. Paul, before we let you go, we always ask former Virginia athletes maybe to hearken back and remember their favorite moment as a Cavalier. So we would ask you to do that as well.
Well, I mean, obviously, 1995, we played Florida State at home. I can remember it was a Thursday night. I think it was November 2nd, if I'm correct, on ESPN. And, you know, one of the things that stands out, that season to begin with, losing to Michigan on the last play of the game, and losing to Texas where, you know, from the sidelines, it looked like the field goal that the guy kicked from Texas was no good, and we should have won that one. But to endure all of that and to get to Florida State, having an opportunity to be the first team in the ACC to beat them, and even going back to the night before the game when, out of character, Coach Welsh brought us from the hotel to the field and walked us around the field, and, you know, the lights were on, but they were dim, and we walk around to the one-yard line, and he's like, somebody's going to make a play right here to, you know, stop him on third down. We kind of walked around the field. He did that kind of deal. It was just a magical, magical night, and I don't have any children. I'm not married yet, but I don't know what this says about me, but that was when we made the stop on Ward Dunn. That became the and still is the most memorable night of my life.
I don't think anybody will ever forget that moment. And I can still remember the people around me yelling so loud, and I kept saying, "Did they say he was out? Did they keep him out?" And then I saw Anthony Poindexter's head sort of pop up, and he sort of pumped his fist. And I said, "Oh my God, they stopped him!"
Yeah, your brother had a rather interesting game against Florida State this year too.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I think I broke a piece of furniture in my house. So yeah, that was definitely nerve-wracking. I'm glad that guy missed the kick. I don't remember who that was, but And maybe he'll make one against another team, but I'm glad he missed that one.
Yeah, I think a lot of us felt like Virginia won that game three times, but unfortunately exactly. We won it all three times.
Well, they didn't have the Carolina refs for that game.
That's right. No. But at any rate.
Paul, we have really enjoyed having you on, and as promised earlier, we'd like to have you come back, and maybe we can talk about the spring game maybe in a month from now, okay?
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Paul, you have a great night, and wasn't that great to have Paul Lennon on the show? All right, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we're going to do our Olympic sports report and talk a little bit about ACC basketball.
Absolutely. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Mark Bernardino, head coach of the Virginia swimming and diving teams. One of the biggest reasons our men's and women's teams are now 9th and 12th in the nation is the generosity of thousands of Cavalier fans across the country. Contributions to the Virginia Athletics Foundation have a direct impact on our program in the form of athletic scholarships, first-class facilities, and operational budget support. Learn how you can support Virginia swimming and diving and all Cavalier teams by visiting virginiaathleticsfoundation.com.